Welcome to Retire Mentorship. I am your host, Freeman Lindy, Certified Financial Planner. Trenton recently asked me, why is my investment performance worse than the S&P 500? Specifically, he had heard that the S&P 500 had returned about 25% in 2023. Meanwhile, his performance was only around 18%, his performance in his 401k. So why the discrepancy, right? If the market is doing 25%, why am I not getting, why is my performance worse than the S&P 500? Again, if you have any questions like this, the question Trenton had, you can always submit those to us at questions@retirementmentorship.com or by visiting retirementmentorship.com/question, and you can submit them there. So several people have asked similar questions over time, and right, and part of it comes from that I reference the S&P 500 a lot in my podcast, the proxy for the equity performance in general, right? Just a few episodes, episode 153 on the S&P 500 cracks 5,000 is just one example of an episode where I directly talk about the index a lot. Because it's such a popular index, many people compare their results to it and speak up when their results are worse. So I thought it'd be a good idea to just address this issue specifically, not just for Trenton, but for anyone else who may have similar questions. Basically, there are four reasons that I could just think of as I was building this, why your performance may be worse than the S&P 500. Next week, we'll look at a different question with another listener asked, which is, can we beat the S&P 500? So it'll be we'll get both sides, right? Why is it worse when it is? And can we be better? Is that even possible? And so here are the reasons why it may be worse. Number one, investing involves fees, right? Investing involves fees. And there are several layers that may be involved in your investing. First of all, there's a difference between the indexes and index funds, right? Stock market indexes cannot be invested into directly. You cannot buy an index. You cannot own the S&P 500, the index itself. It's third parties that make these indexes. So the S&P 500 is a list of the largest U.S. companies by market capitalization. And it's compiled by Standard & Poor. It's a company. It's an entity. It's why it's called the S&P 500, Standard & Poor 500. The MSCI World and Emerging Market Indexes, which is created by Morgan Stanley Capital International. That's what a lot of people use to benchmark their international returns. The Russell 2000 is maintained by FTSE Russell, which in that, you know, FTSE stands for Financial Times Stock Index, or Stock Exchange, excuse me. So these companies maintain these lists or these indexes of these companies, but you can't buy the lists. So you don't invest in the index, you invest in a mutual fund or an exchange traded fund or ETF that copies the index. This is an index fund. Right, so when I throw out the S&P 500, right, that is the index, but to actually invest in it, we need to buy a fund that tracks it. They attempt to mirror the actual indexes by buying the exact same stocks in the same proportions as they are in the list that's created by these external companies, S&P, Morgan Stanley, FTSE, etc. And so number one, and those funds then have fees, right? So when you're investing in these index fees, no matter what, like even an index fund is going to have some kind of fees, and those are anywhere from 0.01% to 0.20%, depending on the index that they're tracking, and all fees drag down on performance, right? So if the index, or if the S&P 500, the index itself, does 25% exactly in a term, right? But you buy an S&P 500 index fund that has a 0.05% fee, then your return will be 24.95%. Right? Thus, you will always do slightly less than the index that you are investing in. Always. Right? And that's why fund fees matter. That's why whenever possible, we want to choose the lowest, the funds with the lowest fees that we can find, as long as everything else is equal. Right? There, I've talked about this before, the RIDEX 500, there's a fund out there that's got like a 1.75% expense ratio. So it charges you 1.75% per year to invest in the S&P 500. So that's gonna drag on your performance. So you'd never do that when you can just get an index fund for 0.05%. So fund fees is one. Platform fees are another one. The platform that you're investing in will have fees. Most people's money is in their 401k, right? 401ks have fees. There are people involved in making that a possibility. And whenever people are involved or software is involved, like, they need to get paid. And so if you belong to a small company, those fees are going to be higher per participant, right? Per employee, to cover the administration custody costs of contributing to, holding, legal tracking, and investing your money, right? All those different things that go into it. There's some kind of fixed fee there. And this can easily be 1 to 1.5% of your account balance. And so if the S&P 500 does 25% a year, you're going to get 23 to 24% that year, depending on if you were just investing in the S&P 500, depending on what those platform fees are for your 401k. Right? If you're part of a large company, then you usually get some kind of volume discount on that, right? The fixed cost of administration is spread out over hundreds or thousands of employees instead of dozens. And so you may pay $50 a year instead of a percentage fee, and it would have little to no impact on your returns, right? Many IRAs and brokerage custodians charge fees for holding and trading funds in your account. That's why we use and recommend Charles Schwab, because they have no account fees and they have no trading fees on ETFs and a very large list of mutual funds. And so again, platform fees are going to reduce your overall return. And then lastly, advisor fees, right? No one works for free. If you're getting professional advice on your investments, you are paying a fee. And there's a bunch of ways you could be paying those fees, all of which we covered in detail in episode 5, 5 questions to ask a financial advisor. You can always go to retirementmentorship.com/5 to find that if you haven't listened to that. But all those ways will reduce your return, some more than others, right? And I charge a fee. I don't hide it. I'm proud of it. I believe that we can show that the value of my planning and advice is worth a multiple of the fees that we charge. But mostly that's because my fees aren't just covering investing, right? We charge one fee that covers all the aspects of financial planning and the behavioral component. And so if you're paying an advisor just a big fee just to try to beat the S&P 500, just with the investments, good luck with that. That's going to be hard to do. And so again, all fees, they affect performance. And in a vacuum, they drag down performance, right? Now, that's not the only thing to consider is the fees, but if everything else were equal, it is going to hurt. And so we should always expect to do slightly less than the indexes because of the fees that we are paying, that we're getting charged. Number one is investing has fees, right? Number two is diversification. There's a saying that diversification always means having to say you're sorry. That unless you're invested only in the S&P 500, you will never have returns equal to the S&P 500, right? Diversifying into multiple equity sectors means that some will do better and some will do worse than the S&P 500 each year. And you may notice, when it's doing a little bit better, you might be like, great, you don't even notice. And when it's doing worse, that's when you notice. And so one of the dangers, right, is looking at year over year investing. It is making decisions based on very short-term results, quarterly or annual performance. And that can cause big mistakes. And here's a great example from recent history, right? In 2023, the calendar year 2023, the large cap growth index was up 46%. Again, this is the index, not a fund. The funds that track it would do slightly different performance than that, but very similar, right? Minus fees and some tracking error. But the large cap growth index was up 46% in 2023. Large cap value was only up 9%. 46 to 9%. That is a massive difference. Like, why would you even invest in value at all? Clearly, growth is king, right? Hold your horses. In 2022, the year before, large cap growth, that index was down 33%. Meanwhile, the large cap value index was only down 2%. Right? Down 2, down 33. What a difference. So, 1,000 invested in each at the beginning of those 2 years. Again, you can't invest it directly into the index, but invested in funds that track those two and held throughout the 2 year period would be worth. So that's $1,000 beginning. If you invested in the large cap growth, that would have been worth 978. So at the end of 2 years, you would actually be slightly lower than you started. But if you'd invested in value, you'd be up to 1,068. You'd actually be slightly above. So despite growth outperforming value 46 to 9% in 2023, you'd have been better off in value because the year before it looked the opposite direction. It was a 33% down to 2%. And so you would have been better off investing in value. You would have won by not losing as much. And yes, it had great growth had great performance in 2023, but a lot of that was just recovering from its extra poor performance in 22. And this is especially important when you're retired and pulling off of these is for a lot of people, like you wouldn't have touched your growth in retirement when it was down 33%, but your value is only down 2% and it's okay to touch. That's why we diversify. So which is better, value or growth? The answer is neither, right? They both have great value and over great stretches of time, and you cannot compare individual retirement years to each other. It's not a basis for long-term growth. You can't create a long-term investment policy off of individual year, individual quarter results. Right, so the S&P 500 did 26% last year and you only did 18%. Okay, but did you look at the year before that? Perhaps you were only down 10% and the S&P 500 was down 20% in the calendar year. Right, you need to look at the greater context to see where you are. And that's why we diversify. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But in general, it ends up being usually, right, better returns overall than just investing just in the S&P. Hopefully that helps. So you got to look at multiple years and how you're actually diversified in there. Reason number three, so we had fees, we had diversification, right? The types of equity funds you're actually invested in. And thirdly is asset allocation. So in general, right, equities outperform fixed income. The long-term average of equities is 10%. The long-term average of fixed income is 5%. The more fixed income you have in your portfolio, the less your return is likely to be, right? Anytime the S&P 500 has a good year, if you have any fixed income at all in your portfolio, you are going to do worse, right? You just are. If you have a target date fund, you will do worse. If you have a balanced fund, you will do worse. If you have any kind of guaranteed or total bond fund, you're going to do worse than the S&P 500 anytime it's having a good year, right? Thus, you can never expect to equal, let alone beat the S&P 500 if you have the smallest amount of fixed income in your portfolio. I'm not going to belabor this point anymore. I talk about this all the time, right? Fixed income versus equities. The difference between fixed income and equities is the basis of my book, 3D Retirement Income. And if it's the first time you're hearing about it because you're new, you can get it on Amazon or Audible or for free by becoming a retirement member. You can go to the episode for this page and there's instructions on how to do that. Or just listen to the end and I think I explained it in the clip at the end. So that's number three. So again, we got fees. We've got I already forgot. Fees, diversification, asset allocation, and the fourth reason being behavior, right? Your investing behavior can be the biggest contributor to your underperformance. Bad investing shows up most over long periods of time, having the average return of the average investor over 20, 30 years. And you can go back and listen to episode one, which is investor versus investment returns, right? What is the difference between us as investors, how we actually perform, and the investments that we invest in? There's a huge difference between those. If you haven't listened to that, or it's been a long time since you listened to that, go back, listen to the first episode. And bad investing behavior, right, shows up in four primary ways: chasing returns, poor diversification, market timing, and panic. And yes, these are the four horsemen. We covered these in episode four, the four horsemen. Again, you can go to retirementmentorship.com/4 and you can listen to that one if you've never heard it. And it's also in chapter 9 of the book, 3D Retirement Income. So personally, I think everyone should read or listen to that annually, just because it helps make sure we're not doing those things. Any one of those things, especially the chasing returns, happens a lot inside of years where, you know, you're seeing quarterly statements, you're lagging, and so you change returns only to mess up, and it can be bad. So go listen to that. I won't belabor that point either because I've already talked about that. So yes, the reason your investment performance may be worse than the S&P 500 over, you know, 1 year or one given time is any combination of those four, right? Fees, diversification, asset allocation, behavior. And that's why I say worse and not just worse, because you have to look at your multi-year performance. And your multi-year performance may be better than the S&P 500. Performance should be compared over decades, not years. And so we got to be really careful about looking at our short-term returns. And because here's the thing, right? Principles are principles. If you're a consistent listener, if you've been listening for a while, you may be noticing a theme here. And it may feel like you've already heard this episode before. And the more you think about it, you might realize that Episode 111, Investing Order Operations. It's just that episode in reverse, right? In that episode, I took the same topics in the opposite direction. You may notice episodes from, or elements from episode 112, the immense stupidity of investment selection. And it may sound similar to episode 133, when should I change my investments? Again, that's because all of these things are the same. Principles are principles. They don't change, right? And if your performance was worse than the S&P 500 in 2023, or any year for that matter, go listen to all those episodes before you make any changes to your portfolio. Right? The principles don't change. The reason I keep saying the same thing in different ways and in different contexts to answer different questions is that it's just true. These are just truths, and I'm just reapplying them to individual questions and circumstances. And so they may not be sexy, right? They're not a hot tip or a hot stock. They may easily be forgotten. That's why we have to come back to them over and over and over again. The same principles can be used to answer all kinds of questions. Right? So, get a plan, stick to the plan, stay the course. We'll see you next week. Cheers. If you enjoyed that, you would love being part of our free membership community. It's called Retire Membership, and it has a host of benefits all for free. For example, you can always buy my book, 3D Retirement Income, on Amazon. But if you join us at Retire Membership, we will send you either a hard copy or paperback for free, provide the ebook and the audiobook so that you can listen to it if you don't have time to read it. In addition to that, we'll also provide you with a bunch of content that you can't get anywhere else. For example, we have our quarterly Retire Mentorship magazine, which comes out quarterly and has no ads whatsoever. It's just timely content to help you stay the course. We also have workbooks for our free online workshop to help you get the most out of those, flowcharts to help you make better decisions, and a weekly email to provide timely content that you can unsubscribe from at any time. We never ask for any payment information, and we never share your information with anyone else. We just want to provide timely content and help you stay the course to retire successfully and stay successfully retired. There's no reason to wait, so join us now at retiremembership.com, or you can click in the link in the description, and it'll go right there. We can't wait to see you in the community. Cheers. This podcast is educational only and is not investment, tax, or legal advice.